Guidance through life is the title of our message, taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Does God have a plan for your life? How do I know God's plan for my life? Our text tells us that God certainly has a good plan for our lives, and he wants you to know and that plan and prosper in it. And God's plan for our lives is not just for this earthly short sojourn on earth, but it is an eternal one. A mind-boggling truth that oftentimes we don't fully understand, that we are an eternal being, that we live for an eternity to come, and that this earth is merely a temporary sojourning. To the church in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul wrote, to crystallize in the hearts of the people there concerning the truth of God's good plan for their lives. He says in Ephesians 1:3-14, he says that God has chosen us even before this universe was conceived to be His children by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we should live holy lives. We obtain this holiness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, giving to us forgiveness of sins, that we may be partakers of an eternal heavenly inheritance, to the praise and glory of God. Do you know that there is a place of eternal judgment, of eternal separation, that is so frightening, and death will bring that eventual separation from the living and true God? Well, God wants us to know. And while we are alive, we have this opportunity to make right with our God. And the Apostle Paul was one such man who met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life was totally changed, turned around. When he has his sins forgiven, his life was attuned, aligned to the plan of God. That blessing, Paul says, came when God makes known to us the mystery of His will for our lives through the Holy Spirit, that you may believe in the gospel of your salvation. This is how Paul wrote it so beautifully. He says, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the down payment for a full repayment of a great price that God is giving to you until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Guidance through life, Paul tells us, begins with God, begins with faith in God through Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we receive eternal redemption. John 1 verse 3 and 4 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. If you know Jesus Christ, you know the source of life. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. Life comes from Him, and we have fullness of life through Him. That's a great truth. That all believers, children of the living God, experience and are partakers. the beginning of guidance with God when we realize that we cannot order our lives and we need a source of true wisdom that makes no mistake. When I was in the university, I was seeking and searching for guidance for life. Guidance through life. I recall reading many books, from Eastern thinkers to Western thinkers, from ancient time to modern times. I tried to pick the minds of this man and explore their ideas with the desire to improve myself so that I may find wisdom and direction and help for life. I was lost and I was seeking to find myself, to understand who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing here? I felt a sense of uncertainty within me because I was not sure how much to trust the words of all these writers. He says this, and the other guy says that. Of course, I took time in my own limited capacity to evaluate their thoughts and ideas without whatever sense I could make out of it. And I felt myself totally inadequate. The more I sought, the more I read, the more confused I get. I felt helpless and I sought to find bearing for life. It was until I found Jesus Christ that this search for guidance finds its source. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. He's the only one who speaks with such authoritative confidence, bidding us to follow Him. And He provided Himself as an example to follow. He's the only man who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And I found out that Jesus is no ordinary man, that He is the God-man, very God, very man, 100% God, and 100% man in one person. I began that journey with Jesus Christ through life when I committed myself to Him. How? I cannot say to you. One moment there was darkness in my mind. I felt myself lost. And another moment, you know, as if there's a light bulb, a switch that was turned on. Ding! I could understand. And the puzzle, the jigsaw puzzle of life just fall into place. What a wonderful realization. That was the beginning of hope and help for me. I begin this journey with Jesus through life and find my Lord most trustworthy, most reliable, most dependable. And the scripture text that settled my heart was Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It tells us that life with God, life is with God, and it begins with faith in God. And the starting point is when we realize that we lack wisdom, that we are miserable sinners, and we cannot order our lives, that speed us along this blessed journey with Jesus. I shall use 3 H and 3 S to help us better understand this text before him. 3H, humility, help, health. And 3F, faith in the Lord, fear of the Lord, and favor with the Lord. 3H and 3Fs. The first thought, humility, or faith in the Lord. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Finding true guidance in life begins with faith in God. So Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And this word trust is a command. What does the Lord have to give? Why does the Lord have to give a command to trust him? Because he knows that we have the tendency to veer away. We have a tendency to become frightened. We have a tendency to doubt. We have a tendency to become anxious. We have a tendency to let worry overwhelm us, overcome us. And so he gave this command for guidance, that we may prosper in the Lord's vineyard, following him. So he says, trust. And he gives it in a command. And Solomon also tells us that instead of relying on God's wisdom, we can seek our own comfortable solution. Oftentimes our mind is able to, by its quick wit, find, well, solution that seem okay, seem alright at first glance. But when you place it in the searchlight of God's word, you find that there's something lacking over there. There's something missing. And so this first thought is a call to obedience. It's a call to humble ourselves and seek the wisdom of God for our life. And we shall be guided when we would humble ourselves to come to the Lord. So he says, trust in the Lord. Not veer off, but look to him. And the reformer John Calvin, well, he studied the Bible quite thoroughly. God gave him a good mind and he was able to conceptualize the thoughts from the Bible, and he defined for us what is faith. And he says that faith is superior to human intelligence. It comes by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Well, when I read him, I realized that it's true. Remember, I was saying the thing, how the light comes, the Spirit of God that indwells us when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, gives us the ability to understand God's ways. A superior wisdom beyond our own limited understanding. And when we take time to study the Word of God, we find guidance through life. It conducts us step by step, Calvin says, until we reach our heavenly home. Life with God, our Lord Jesus Christ says, begins with a poverty of spirit. It means a mourner's heart. Humility is the beginning of life with God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And the word not there, the negation there, is spoken from a father to his son with a sense of great urgency. He sees his son veering off and he is very concerned. that he may not fall into danger. And he wants to make sure. And so he spoke with a great emotional, in a sense, encouragement to bring forth a sense of urgency to the heart of the hearer. And Jesus gives these words. To begin life with God, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The spiritual disposition to obtain guidance through life and blessing for life is a sense of an acute lack. A sense of an acute spiritual lack. When we realize that we are not there, we need help. And that's how Solomon phrases it for us, by the Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. The psalmist says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." And that is what it means to trust in the Lord. When God has not shown you the better way, the higher wisdom, the superior wisdom, then you are willing to wait, to receive His instruction before you would proceed with life. God guides us, especially through the major decisions of life. There are some things that you do, well, whether you eat this or that, choose this or that, well, okay, little impact significance. But there are some major decisions that you will make in life that will truly affect you and thoroughly determine your journey for life. The choice of study, the choice of a career, the choice of a life partner. These are all major decisions that we have to make during the journeys of life. And so the Lord tells us that He wants us to make a blessed choice. And so He says to us, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." I recall the story of Samson in the Bible. The story of how BGR ran amok. Judges chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "And Samson went down to Timnah, and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife.'" So he's issuing a command to his parents and said that, "I found this Philistine girl very attractive. I want her to be my wife." The father and mother look at him, and father and mother said, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. This is what I want. For she pleases me well." And verse 7 of Judges 7 says, "And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." What was happening here? Well, he was wandering from the place of obedience. He went down to Timnah and saw this Philistine girl, he wandered out of the place of obedience in Israel, where he is to find a spouse. He went for a girl among the heathen. Samson was not guided by God's law. His wayward feet led him in the way of sin. Exodus 34 and verse 17 tells us, "And thou take of their daughters and their sons and their daughters, and go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Judgment will come upon you." God's word was so clear. "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly." You see, what happened is that the proximity of the tribe of Dan to the center of Philistine influence was a convenient excuse for Samson. So Samson, by reason of his proximity, he looked across the border and he saw a number of young ladies from Philistia. Well, he was a Nazarite, one who has made a vow to keep himself pure for the Lord, seeking for fun. He failed to control that youthful lust. The lust of the eyes overwhelmed him. Samson saw the girl and could not say no to what he saw. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand, right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." You know what was the judgment upon Samson for what he did? Judges 16 verse 21 tells us, "But the Philistines took him and put his eyes out." This was God's judgment for him, for the lust of the eyes. It was a judgment that came because he was stubborn to insist on his carnal choice. And we realize that God would want us to make a decision. He didn't tie us up and coerce and compel us to say, "You must do this and not that." No. The Lord shows us the better way. And He would like us to choose to obey Him, to follow Him, to receive His blessing. But this man, Samson, was stubborn to insist on his carnal choice. Samson failed to listen to godly advice, the admonition from the Word of God. Samson's determination to marry a Philistine girl was so strong. He was so self-willed. I remember we said, "Lean not unto thy own understanding." He had to exercise self-control and not be overwhelmed by his feelings. His choice was against God's word, against the good advice of his parents. The girl was pleasing in his eye. That was the criteria for his choice. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Samson failed to take heed to the admonition and suffered the consequences of a failed marriage. He simply demanded from his parents, "Do what I want. Don't ask any question." Does it sound familiar to you? I believe, and we have seen how a numerable throng has followed in his steps. He was not open to advice and direction from his parents, from the Word of God. And we can only surmise those many nights when Samson's parents would agonize in prayer for the son, crying out to God, "Lord, be merciful to spare my boy." The time of youth, where most enduring decisions are made: education, marriage, vocation. This is a time when wise counsel and mature experience are imperative. You want to be very sure, because you don't want to reap the consequence of a carnal choice. Be sure we walk in God's appointed way. Humility. Humble ourselves to good advice, to listen to good advice. Remember, just last week we said, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." God's word is very true, you know. When we make a sanctified choice, a choice of that pleases God, walking in the will of God, in the way of God, well, we find favor with God, favor with men. And so we say, trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all your ways. Listen to parental advice for your own good. Honor and obey your parents. Exercise self-control. Be not yoked with an unbeliever. Many a Christian marry an unsaved person, feeling, well, because he or she is so wonderful and their love seems so strong, that she can reform him or he can reform her after the marriage ceremony. Such a marriage rarely turns out well. Any reforming that is to be done should be done before the marriage. The first thought, humility and faith in the Lord. God says this, know that His wisdom is higher than our wisdom, and we be willing to yield our will to His will. When we do so, then we will find help. That's the second thought. We will find help. And oftentimes we want our way, and that battle within us is so intense, and we couldn't find ourselves sometimes in our struggle. But the Lord wants us to know that there is a blessed way. In all thy ways acknowledge him, verse 6 says, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We are willing to wait upon God in prayer and in submission to his will. We are willing to say, Lord, please show me the way. In all thy ways, there is a total surrender in the lives of the believer, yielding to God, because failing to do so can mean certain death. And we have that tendency to make decisions based on our own wisdom. And that is where we find that we can fall. And so this text here tells us that we are to, in all our thinking, in all our searching, we are to know his will. We are to acknowledge him. We are to seek to know his mind. We are to seek to know what he would desire for us to do. And oftentimes, God doesn't make it so hazy that we don't know what to do. Oftentimes, it's not hazy. God's will is crystal clear. Our trouble is that we don't want to yield to the will of God. We don't want the blessing. We do not want to acknowledge. We do not want to confess that his way is better than our way. His wisdom better than our wisdom. We fail to acknowledge him. So the psalmist says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. See, if there's no fear of God in our hearts, to know that, you know, if you make a wrong move, it can mean disaster, judgment, cursing, and that consequence is just but a decision away. If you are not sure, then do not plunge head on. Lord, the psalmist says, give me the strength to live in thy fear and be inclined to walk in thy truth. Do you pray such a prayer? Psalm 86 verse 11. The psalmist agonized before God in prayer. Lord, give me thy fear so that I may not succumb to the lusts of my flesh. When we pray and seek his counsel, he will show his sovereign will to us. I remember there was one time where I was still doing reservist and I had to do IPPT and the annual physical fitness training or test. And I failed. I failed once, I failed twice. And so I had to go
to go for remedial classes. It was, I think, about 10 weeks or so. And so I said, my health, my physical fitness is no good. Let me try my best to build it up. Perhaps that's what the Lord wants me to do. And that time I was also attending classes, and we were studying the precepts of prayer, night class. And I said to myself, wow, if I fail again, and then I'm going to miss how many weeks of classes. The next time I think is maybe 2 or 3 months. So totally missed everything. And I said, Lord, but you would want me also to learn thy will, learn how to pray, isn't it? And you knew also that physically I need help. So what do I do? Well, I had to do what I know God wants me to do, to build my fitness. So when we are asked to do 10 push-ups, well, you do 10 push-ups. Make sure that you don't cut any corners and build yourself up. Well, I tried that. And then while I was taking the final running test, after all the stations, it's a running test. And you have to pass the running test. So I was finishing the last lap. And, you know, the last 300 meters. And I said, wow, if I run my best, I may fail and I may pass. But I need to be prepared that if it's the Lord's will that I would fail, then I'll be willing to submit to the will of God, to miss all the classes, and then to bring my fitness to a good level. And if the Lord wants me to pass, then He gives me the strength to be able to run that last 300 meters. It's going to be very, very close. Very, very close. And so I ran my heart out, and when I reached, I was given a piece of paper giving the result. Failed. So I was quite, I said, okay, this is the Lord's will. Failed. That means I have to be prepared to go back. I called my wife, said, hey, Bill. Then I went to queue up to book a new date. And then I was asked, hey, you come into the office. And the man took my paper and look at it, then crush it and throw it in the waste paper basket and print out another copy and give it to me and said, pass. I was prepared either way. Sometimes we struggle. I don't want this. I want that. I want that. I don't want this. But God's will is the best. And so the Lord said, well, it's time for you to quit this physical exercise and do some spiritual, mental exercise in the study of God's word. So better go. I called my wife again and said, hey, pass. Sometimes you don't know how these things are, but we trust the Lord, right? As you go through life, you don't know it's this way or that way, but you know that you do your duty, do what the Lord wants you to do with all your might. The third thought, health, favor with the Lord. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. When we are willing to yield our will to God's will, in the fear of God, we are guided. We don't struggle anymore. We rest in God and His will. The word navel, if you read the commentary of Dennis Gibson, the one that we are going through, the Proverbs, he says this: navel may be understood as a figure for the body, the lifeline. The unborn baby, this is what I said, is nourished by the oxygenated blood from the mother as a lifeline. Right? So the navel is that lifeline. And the Lord wants us to know, well, that He's the one that supplies that life to us. He's the one that nourishes us, that keeps us, that strengthens us. And marrow to thy bones, a figure for renewing, reviving, refreshing our whole being. Seek the will of God. Be willing to say that whatever will be, will be. Right? We realize that we are not masters of our destiny. In a sense, God is. And we are to submit to His blessed will for our lives. He has a good plan for your life. And as a child of God, you are to seek to know that good and blessed will that He has for you. How can you do so? Well, take time in the study of God's Word, through prayer, through the counsel of mature men of God. And as you wait upon the Lord in prayer, as you seek the Lord, as you wait upon Him, I'll be willing to let Him decide what it is. And as we rest upon Him in humility, in faith, we find help in fear, and health and favor from God. May the Lord help us to walk this blessed journey of faith, which is going to be promised to be a blessed and happy one. As we follow Him, as we walk in His will, you find His power sustaining, keeping, blessing us. What a life! What a blessing. What a joy. And, you know, life will be even greater. Not just here on earth, but in eternity when we are with our Lord. And so, it's a happy journey. It's a blessed journey. And the Lord wants us to enjoy it as we cling on to Him, as we acknowledge Him. May He lead and bless us. Thank God that we have no wisdom, but all wisdom comes from Him, and He does not withhold this wisdom from us, but He gives it to us so that we may enjoy it. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for showing us Thy grace. Thank Thee for giving to us Thy mercy. Lord, help us to trust Thee more and more each day as we journey on this earth by Thy grace. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.